Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. I'm your presiding minister, Angela McCarty, Chicago-based poet, Northern Sister Poochie, here for another Saturday of worshiping, praising the Lord, and getting a little food for thought to help us grow in our spiritual life. Before I get started, I encourage everyone to go to the ministry's website at www.sisterpoochie.com. That's SISTAPOOCHIE.com. There you will find many resources. We have Bible study videos that you can watch. We have a prayer line. We have a spiritual consultation email address. You can follow us on Facebook as well as Twitter. And also, if you're away from the show, you can call in and listen to the show over your phone or call in and talk to me in the audience. The call-in number is 347-838-9457. And for all of those out there who have iPods, you can also download a free podcast into your iPod from the radio show. All right. You know, as I always say, I love the people who listen live, and I love the people who listen later. You know, I appreciate all of the support, and the ministry appreciates all the support that we have been receiving from around the world. Usually I start the show out with a Bible verse, but this time we have a whole buffet for you to eat on. We're going to have Minister Kimberly Cooper Hovek come on the line and actually give us some tips about living a better life and enriching our Christian experience. But before we get to that, we're going to play a little song. So everybody sit back, relax. The chat room is open if you want to go into it. And first up on the mic will be Renee Cheney with Looking Back.
Over my life, looking back. Over my life.
I'm just a man, my daddy told me he would hold me and explain, telling me that living the right path was covered by his pain. He knew the Lord's word, but it didn't help him in his presence, so he chose to live his own life away from God's presence. Got a girl pregnant, she became his first wife. 3 kids later, couldn't take commitment, he continued his own life. Met my mama as a teen, made her feel just like a queen. 10 months later, had my brother popping on the scene, but he wasn't ready to be a dad. He never did hug him. He repeated the cycle, left my mama by herself. But he did come back with his baggage in his hands, beat my mama in the head, made my brother be a man. He later cleaned up his act and asked my mom to marry him. She forgave his past sins and then she buried them. They got married in the 60s. I wish I could remember it, but I was just a kid growing up in mama's stomach. Then they became one that day. Everything my mama prayed, you think they live happily, cause that's what the movies say, but in the movies they get paid. This is real life, no script to be read, so we keep praying that it gets better instead.
Over my life, looking back. Over my life, looking back.
See, we speaking in tongues and we singing in rhymes, but it means nothing at all if we ain't speaking in love. Because mama cussed out daddy and then issued us hugs, and my mama had a problem controlling her mouth, but she was kind in front of company cause we was from the south. Yes ma'am, yes sir, but my mama called me insert. Came to Pittsburgh and they like to call me insert. Met Jesus Christ and he called me new creature. Born again in this plan, got married to a man. I'ma show you love the only way I know I can. The generational sin, I took my marriage in a predicament where I have to learn love again. So I started square one, and that's the word of God. It says love is patient and love is kind. It says love is God and our God is alive. It does not envy, brag, or boast, knowing God is the man. It's not proud or rude, it lets God be the ruler. Not self-seeking or easily angered, teaching you to bear with your Christian family and strangers. It keeps no records of the wrongs you do, not delighting in evil, but rejoicing with the truth. It's there to protect, and it's always gonna trust. It's always gonna hope, yes, that is love. And it always perseveres because love never fails. At the end of the day, When these three remain, you got faith, hope, and love, and love stands above. While the other two can't even touch.
Over my life, looking back.
Daddy told me he would hold me and explain, telling me that living the right path was covered by his pain. Now I'm left with the sins of my parents. I got the shame, the pride, and I struggle with the arrogance. My arrogance won't let Jesus Christ come in, cause mama taught me perfect perfection. You see, I imitated what I saw, repeated everything I thought. My parents loved the love I felt, like many generations in the cycle I got caught. I'm not mad, mom and dad, but I can't pass on what I never did have. So I pass on everything I lack, and I pass it to my kids, and they pass it right back. It's a sad thing to see your kids carrying your slack. That's why I wish that we could bring it back to when I was a little girl. Create a different world where you tell me about Jesus, and you really try to teach him, and you really do believe him, and you show me in your actions, so I really do see him. And when you sin, show me how you ask for forgiveness, and like a babe, show me how you really wean it when you're really leaning in repentance.
Looking back over my life, 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 looking back.
All right, that was Looking Back by Renee Cheney. And if you want to contact her, you can contact her at reneecheney@gmail.com. Actually, if you want to contact any of the artists or guests that are on the radio show, all you have to do is go to the ministry's website at www.sisterpucci.com and look under the artist or guest tab, and all of the correct information and correct spelling for the websites and email addresses will be there at the website. And I wanted to see, is Kim Hovak on the phone right now?
I am here.
How are you, Minister Hovak?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I am very blessed and very happy to have you on the show. This is just such a blessing. As I was telling the audience today, I usually give a Bible verse, a little food for thought for everyone. But today we're going to give them a whole smorgasbord. We're going to have you talk to them. Okay, all right. And I just wanted to let the audience know that this is Minister Kimberly Cooper-Hovak, who's a life coach. She has conducted two powerful seminars entitled Maximize Your Life and Kill a Giant. And she's here today to provide powerful information that will help us in our everyday life, as well as grow and make a deeper connection in our Christian life. And thank you so much for being a resource for our listeners and for the ministry. And so I'm going to just give you the floor and let us know what the Holy Spirit has told you that we need to know right now.
Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you for the invitation. I am excited to be on the show today. God has really been dealing with me all week long. The anointing has gotten greater and greater and greater. So I'm excited because he woke me up very early this morning with specific words. So I know that there are people that are listening today that are going to be free, and that excites me.
Amen.
So for those who are listening out there, I want you to become an active listener today. Grab a pen, get some paper, get ready. God will probably be pulling on your heart. And when he does, write down what you hear and be prepared to do something about that over the next 7-30 days. Commit to doing something different so that you can change your life. I also want to say, if you haven't already done so, now is a good time to go ahead and to kick into prayer and ask God for the answers that you need. Because I do flow in the prophetic anointing, and I will accept every download that the Holy Spirit has for me, and I will just share it. I've made sure I left time so that God could flow freely in the moment, in addition to what he gave me earlier. So the thing that God has been talking to me about really is about relationships. He's been really dealing with me about that, specifically over this week and today. And one of the things I first want to talk about is the fact that no matter where we are in life, God's plan for us is always a better plan. You know, you don't have to be in a bad place in life. Anywhere you are in life, God still has a plan that's better. And we don't usually tend to dispute that. But the question that we usually have on our mind is, well, how do we get there? You know, often life throws us these events that throw us off track. The thing to keep in mind that is that God has orchestrated that all of our life events are going to be part of the plan that is involved in our life. He's not surprised by you, your decisions, your deceptions, your struggle, your beliefs, your confidence in him. He's not surprised by any of that. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So we should receive the peace of God in knowing that our life has not caught him off guard. It catches us off guard, but it does not catch God off guard at all. So when I began to train being a life coach in 2006, God gave me just a very simple message to his people. And he says, I just want you to help people maximize their life. And everything that I do in ministry is about helping people to understand how to get clear, how to get focused, how to get a vision, how to make a plan, how to deal with the roadblocks and the setbacks, and how to be determined to live your very best life. Every class I teach, every seminar that I give, every teleseminar that I give, the book and magazine that I'm working on, they all have everything to do with maximizing your life. And this week, God placed a heavy anointing for me to deal with the idea of understanding how to maximize your life and deal with your relationship. So I hope that you all have your pen and your paper ready. Let me tell you first what I mean when I say maximizing your life. And usually when I'm giving a seminar, I try to give as many examples as I can. And one of the most common ones is I want you to think about the tube of toothpaste that you have in your bathroom. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to think about that. Think about that tube of toothpaste that's in your bathroom. And think about when you get to the end of it and, you know, you don't want to go to the store and you really need to use that toothpaste. And so you are trying to squeeze out the very last bit. You want to get every penny's worth of your money out of that toothpaste. And you start twisting it. You start using little things to get all the toothpaste to the end of it. Well, that is what God means when he talks about maximizing your life. He's talking about using every inch of your life, living it to the fullest, enjoying it, get everything out of it that he intended for you to get. Look, we only live one time, and God wants to make sure that we have a blast when we do it. Amen?
Amen.
So he wants you to live a full, full, full life. And that's the first thing you have to understand. It is not simply about, you know, prosperity, financial increase, big houses, big cars. It is about living full. I know a lot of people that have a lot of money, but they are very empty people. That is not what God is talking about. He is talking about living a very full and satisfying life. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is if you take him along for the ride. That's the only way you're going to be able to do it. There are three things specifically that he told me, you know, this is the direction I want you to take people when you talk about maximizing your life. Let's make it simple. Only three things, and these are the things that I teach over and over and over. The first thing I talk about always is to get rid of stinking thinking. And that is all about renewing your mind. And for those of you who are people who love scripture, is Romans 12:2, renewing your mind. And we're going to talk about that, so I'm not going to go into detail about that. We're going to be talking about stinking thinking all evening, all right? The other thing that he wants us to do is just get a clue. And the way we get a clue is by creating a real vision for ourselves. There are so many people that don't really have a vision for their lives. They just deal with all the things that hit them day to day. They don't really plan. They might hope, but they don't plan. And there's a very big difference between hoping and planning. When you're hoping, you may not necessarily believe that you can have what it is you're thinking of. But when you are planning for it, you know that you can have it. You intend for it to come true. And you're not expecting for someone else to give it to you. You're going to go out there and get it for yourself. And when I talk about getting a clue, I usually use the Bible verse Habakkuk 2:2. And it says, write the vision, make it plain upon the table that he may run that readeth it. You know, the thing is that any plan that God has for you in your life, he does not intend for you to do it all by yourself. But if you really could get a glimpse of the vision, if you can begin to paint that picture, God is always going to put people around you that also will take that picture and get excited about it with you and help you to accomplish that thing that he has in mind. Remember, it is his ministry, his life operating through you. And so it is up to him to get it done. You don't have to do it all yourself. All you have to do is know how to keep yourself on your knees before him and watch it unfold. When I was growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church, and there was a particular song that they would sing called Old Time Religion. I don't know if anyone knows that song.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, and it says, you know, basically it says, you know, if it was good enough for my dear mother, it was good enough for me. Let me tell you something. I do not like that song at all. I don't believe in that because I don't want anyone's old-time religion. I don't want anyone else's relationship. I don't want someone else's revelation. I don't want someone's religion. I want my own relationship with God. I need to own it myself. Amen? If other people's stuff is good enough to get you into the place where you can accept him, but it can't keep you there. And I know a lot of people who have fallen away from the word because they never had a relationship with God themselves. They were living vicariously through the people around them. So you really need to get involved with God for yourself. Learn how he speaks to you. Learn how he talks to you. Learn how you get your own revelation. Receive your own anointing. Understand what it is that he has in mind for you. Trust me, he created you for a fantastic thing, and there are people in the world that are waiting for you to come by to minister through your testimony to them so that they might be encouraged and they might step out and be bold and do something as well. The other thing, the third step, is to kill the giant. And that is all about overcoming the roadblocks and the setbacks that come that cause struggle in our lives. And I typically like to look at the story of David and Goliath, and that's located in 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter. And if you know the story, you know that here David is this little guy, and there's this huge giant who comes against God's people. And the giant is taunting them, basically saying, you're supposed to be so tough, but, you know, you can't defeat me. Send me your best. This is exactly what Satan does to us. He taunts us. But you have to remember in whom you belong. You have to remember who you are. And you have to remember giants really do fall. And when they fall, they often die. And the best thing for us who live on this side of Christianity, where the Messiah has already come, the work has already been done. All we have to do is accept it. So those are the components. Those are the three steps. It is important whenever you're facing any kind of obstacle, anything that you find that is big and overwhelming, just break it down into manageable steps and do one thing at a time. And before you know it, you're going to succeed. You're going to be over it. You'll be doing it. You'll be moving in it. And that thing will be so far behind you, you'll look around and say, oh, that was a problem. I didn't even realize that. That is way back there in the past anymore. God really is on our side. It's really important for us to believe that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So here's a topic that God wanted me to talk about today, and it has to do with the relationships, and we're going to talk about stinking zinking. So many of us, you know, are broken or we're stuck in a place in our lives due to relationships. And I have a poster on the wall in my office that says, marry the right person because this one decision will determine 90% of your happiness. And I really do believe that this is a true statement. And not just because of the real estate in your heart that this person takes ownership of, but I believe it because people come with stuff. You know, it's important to choose the stuff that you're willing to deal with as much as you can, because there's always going to be that stuff that you didn't know about. You know, I don't know if those of you who are listening, I don't know if you knew that in our minds, there really is a difference between luggage and baggage. When we're going on vacation to what we expect to be a wonderful place, you know, a place with great experiences waiting for us, we carry our luggage. You know, that's when we're going to go on a plane, we're going to go on a cruise somewhere. You know, it might even be designer luggage. You know, minimally, we want to make sure that when we are traveling with something that looks good. And please do not let us see the airport handlers throwing our luggage around, because we have taken the time to plan this thing out. We have carefully packed. We have maybe even gotten some brand new luggage. It might have taken us a year or more just to pay for this trip, so we better not see anybody throwing our luggage around. You know, we don't want to see that. But when we're trying to go on a weekend runaway, and I do mean a runaway, not a getaway, we take baggage. We just throw some stuff in a bag. We throw the bag in the car. And if there's anything that we forgot, we pick it up at the store on the way. We don't really even care about what we left behind. We don't care what the bag looked like, you know, because it doesn't matter if the bag's matched, because now we're going to be the luggage handlers. So there are no pretenses anymore. None of that stuff matters. We just gather our stuff up and we go. Now, there are some people that have both baggage and luggage. Some people only have one or the other. But here's my point. No matter where we are going, we all have a destination. And we are all going to get from here to over there somewhere. And no matter whether you're carrying baggage or luggage, the contents are still all of your stuff. Whether it's new stuff, whether it's old stuff, whether it's stuff that's folded nicely, stuff that's thrown together, stuff that has holes, stuff that is ironed, stuff that is clean, stuff that is dirty, it really doesn't matter. It is all our stuff. And what happens when we meet other people, we are so busy looking at their luggage, looking at how shiny it is, looking at whether or not we're attractive, you know, it's attractive to it, looking at whether or not it goes with the outfit, looking at whether or not it might be able to be some luggage that we can carry from place to place with us. We are so busy looking at those outer things that we forget two things. We forget to let them open up and share the contents of their luggage, and we forget that we have our own bags to deal with. The stuff in our bags is not simply, you know, the mother-in-law, which, by the way, I have to tell the world, I have a fantastic mother-in-law. I really don't buy into that horrible mother-in-law thing. I think it takes two people to make a relationship bad, and my mother-in-law is actually my road partner. My mom is a pastor. She's very busy. She has her own ministry. And so when I travel, she's not always available. But my mother-in-law is, and she often travels with me, and I am thankful for that. The baggage that is carried is all the exes and the baby's mamas and baby's papas and the sisters and the brothers and the close friends and the mentors, all of the influencers in our lives, or the lack thereof, and the emotional baggage that has developed as a result of our relationships with them. We're dealing with all of this stuff, and we move into relationship with other people. So many of us are walking through life today, and we're harboring all kinds of resentments and hurts and unforgiveness and frustrations and religious beliefs and struggles, all because of the stuff that other people has either done to us, or stuff we believe that they have done, or stuff that we believe because of what they have told us or shown us. All of that stuff is going on with us. What we have to recognize, though, is that we must own something. And what we must own is that we are in a place where we have an emotional stronghold. And that means you are in a place where you just can't get over this thing. And it's no longer about what someone else has done when you get to that point. Because we have now taken possession of this thing that they have tried to give to us. And it has become our own baggage. We forget that we have baggage. And so we take this stuff and we fold it up real nice and we tuck it away inside our luggage. You know, when you get nice luggage, it has zippers and pockets and all that kind of stuff. And we take this stuff, this emotional baggage, and we tuck it away in the corner pockets of our heart, you know. And all of our emotional hurts, we just zip it up. And we slide it into some kind of pocket, leave it there, and it stays there, and it's fine. Until something happens, and all of a sudden, that old hurt jumps out. It breaks free. It's so excited to be free, and it joins forces with the new hurt that you just experienced, and it wreaks havoc on the lives of the people all around you and your own life, because we're right and they're wrong, and, you know, we're just out of control. And then when we slowly gain some control of our emotions, we don't deal with it. We tuck it away again, we fold it again, we put it in another pocket because now it's too big to fit in the place that we put it before. It takes up a little bit more real estate in our hearts, but at least we feel like it's under control. And it is under control until the next time it breaks free. So here's what this looks like. In the Bible, there's a story of the woman at the well, right? Now, I'm more interested in the story behind the story, okay? The woman at the well, she was at the well in the middle of the day. Why? That was the hottest part of the day. She was at the well at the middle part of the day because she was an outcast. She was one of those people that, you know, wasn't a part of the crowd. She was the one that everyone shunned. Why is that? Because she was sleeping around. That was what was going on with her. She was an unsavory character. My question is, how did she end up the way to be the one that goes to the well in the middle of the day? I have to say that it has everything to do with all these little hurts and these little issues that we tie up so nicely and we put inside our hearts and we don't deal with. You know, all of these different cloaks that we wear, sometimes they are cloaks of words that people have said to us, things that people have said about us that caused us to live a low life because we invested truth in that instead of saying, no, that's not me. No, I'm not going to be like that. We ate it anyway because maybe they were an influential person in our lives. Maybe these things happened when we were young. And someone who we looked up to said something, well, you know, you're not going to get very far in life. Well, you know, you're not really very bright. Well, you know, you really could not ever be a doctor, or you could never be a teacher. You have to shoot something a little bit lower. And we start living down to these things that people say. People say things in the heat of anger that they don't really mean in their heart. They might mean it at that moment, but they mean it because they're angry and they're just shooting out anger. But when you're young, or I should say when you're emotionally immature and you don't have the ability to take that thing and understand that you can put a wall up against it, you take that in and you live down to what these people who are over you are saying about you. And so what happens is we end up like the woman at the well. This is how people end up in drug addiction and in prostitution and, you know, in dead-end places, doing dead-end things, because they somewhere along the line lost their identity and established a new identity that's wrapped up in lies and deceit and hurt. You know, a lot of times people have been raped and molested as children, physically and emotionally, and they grow up with that. It's so strong, and they don't know how to break free. And it causes them to live a life that God did not intend. And so you walk around and become the person that's at the well in the middle of the day that can't hang out with everyone else in society because you are an outcast. But look what happened to her. When her truth encountered the truth of her outlook, her truth, and I'm talking about the real truth, when she encountered Jesus, when the person that she was as that person living that life encountered Jesus, who was the real truth, her perception changed. She had to get rid of some stinking thinking, and we are much same. We have to know how to renew our mind, and it starts really by facing our own truth, good, bad, and downright ugly. You have to confront your giant if you want it to die. You know, I was the person that had a lot of truths that I had to deal with. I was molested at the age of 8. I grew up with a lot of sexual issues as a result. I didn't have an identity. I didn't think I had anything good to offer. You know, I just allowed myself to be used and abused for many, many, many years. And it was my only way of having power. I felt, you know, if I didn't give in and say yes, then it was going to be taken from me. You know, that is a helpless position, and what a horrible way for a young woman to grow up and believe. But that's what I believe. And so I said yes way too many times, and I was used and I was abused, and I really just didn't have a true identity. You know, not the one that God had in mind. The identity that I picked up was, it was really no way to live, quite frankly. But I had to face my truth and confront that giant, and I had to say, this is who I am. I was walking and I was living with a poverty mindset. And that is the first thing that I want to talk about with regard to thinking. I want to talk about the poverty mindset. So many of us have that. But let me tell you what it is. A poverty mindset is a mindset that accepts lack and inferiority. So as a result, you expect to be cared for by everyone else. And there's a process that says, in your mind, that says, well, you have to help me because the concept of doing something for yourself is just twisted, you know? And what happens with the poverty mindset is that you accept whatever little you can get from a person. So if a person shows you just a little bit of love, you'll accept that. If they show you a little bit of comfort, you'll accept that. If they show you a little bit of trust, you'll accept that. Because you have a poverty mindset. You don't set standards for yourself. You let everyone else, everything else, all other situations, you let them dictate to you what is available to you in life. Now, I did not get this from my parents. It was another influencer. I had this train of thought. But it started with me when I was raped at 8 years old. And my parents had no clue of that until I was about 30. Right now, I believe that Satan is messing with the minds of some of the people that are listening, because the words poverty mindset, sometimes people think it's ugly. I want you to watch how subtle Satan is. Listen to this, because he twists God's words. There are people right now that are having thoughts that say, you know, well, what's wrong with being poor? The Bible says blessed are the poor. Because the moment you think of poverty, you think rich and poor. And so you think that I'm saying, you know, don't have the mindset to be poor. Don't have the mindset to not have money. I'm not talking about that at all. And Satan's trying to get you. He's fighting with you right now. Don't listen to her. She's trying to tell you that you can't have any money, but, you know, that you should have money, but you shouldn't have any money because the Bible says blessed are the poor. But let me tell you something. The Bible doesn't say that. It says blessed are the poor in spirit. Satan's going to say, oh, no, don't listen to this. This is not true. Don't believe this poverty mindset stuff. God did tell you to pray for your daily bread. But what Satan won't tell you is that the daily bread that God is talking about is his grace and his spiritual provision. So you have to know the word for yourself. The word also says that a man that will not work won't eat. Satan's not going to tell you that either. Right? He told Eve, you know, you can eat of this apple. The reason why God doesn't want you to eat this apple, it's not that you're going to surely die, just that you're going to become like him. Yeah, well, you know what? It wasn't a natural death, but it was a spiritual death, which was far worse. And if only she knew. We can't afford to have a poverty mindset because it is way too expensive. I tell everyone all the time that the anointing is free, but it's not cheap. The truth is that there is a cost to everything. And the anointing of God, which is freely given, is not cheap. But a poverty mindset is not cheap either. And you can freely receive either one. So I'm going to ask all of you who are listening out there today, which mindset do you want? Please, choose ye this day life. Choose the anointing of God. Do not choose a poverty mindset. Do not choose a mindset of lack. Anytime something comes and lets you accept something that's inferior, you need to stand up and set a standard against it. There is nothing inferior about the God that you serve. He is the greatest God that there is, the only one true God. He is greater and more massive than you can ever believe. He already knows everything that there is to know about you. He knows the way you think. He knows exactly where you sit. He knows everything that you have done, and yet he has accepted you anyway. Do not allow people to make you feel that you are not worthy. None of us are worthy, but he loves us anyway. And he says we are the apple of his eye. We are his favorite. He is building us up in his word. Will he give us all revelation and all truth to bring us into a higher place? These are the mindsets that you have to adapt. Don't take the poverty mindset. Don't accept a spirit of lack, but the spirit of the anointing, which is going to make you greater and greater and greater and expand you even more. That is what God says that he has for you. Choose ye this day life. So you might say to me, Minister Kim, you know, how do I deal with this stinking thinking? You know, it really, let me tell you what stinking thinking is. It's just anything at all that is going to stop you from the dream or the goal or the vision that you have in mind. That's all stinking thinking is. Anything that's going to stop you from the dream, the goal, or the vision that you have in mind, that you have purposed in your heart. If it comes against it, that's stinking thinking. Sometimes stinking thinking is your family. Sometimes it's your friends. You know, our family and friends, I mean, these are the people that have known us. So they have an expectation for who we are. And sometimes their expectation may not line up with God's expectation because his expectation is greater. And so, you know, a lot of times people get this crab in a barrel mentality. They don't mean it. They really don't. They just can't help it. Because what happens is when someone around you begins to excel, it automatically makes you think about yourself. And when it starts making you feel as if you are inadequate or maybe you need to step up your game, sometimes people get a little bit envious, a little bit jealous, and they want to pull you back so that they don't have to reach forward. That right there is stinking thinking. When they're pulling you back, that's stinking thinking. Don't accept that. If it's going to stop you, you have to let it go because you have to break free, and sometimes breaking free is hard. One of the things, most important thing, I think, when you are dealing with your changing your mind, renewing your mind, you need to ground yourself in the truth. I remember in my life, and I consistently do a check of making sure that I'm grounding myself in my truth. I remember a point in time in my life where I really had to take a good, hard look at myself and ground myself in the truth. And I found out some things about myself that I didn't really particularly care for. One of the things that I realized is that, you know, I was never a fan of lying, but, you know, a little white lie was okay. And I had to realize that a little white lie, a little black lie, a little green lie, a little purple lie, it's all a lie. And if I accept those little lies, then I am a liar. Plain and simple. And I didn't like that label. But once I was able to ground myself in the truth of that, then I had to begin to say, you know what, Kim? You just can't accept those little lies of multicolors. You need to just deal with the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Because you have to sleep with yourself every night and wake up with yourself every morning and walk with yourself every place you're going to go. You have to love you. And if you don't love you, then something's wrong. People can't love you if you don't love you. So I have to accept that. When I started saying, you know, when I started living my life in a way where I wasn't accepting these little white lies, it kind of shook up the people around me because most of the world is okay with little white lies. They really are. You know, little white lies are things as simple as, you know, you tell someone how beautiful they look and, you know, they look a hot mess, you know. So, you know, I mean, you really have to be creative in order to get out of that situation. But, hey, if they look a hot mess, they look a hot mess. And maybe they need to know it so they can stop looking that way. You know, it's not going to be an easy thing, but I had to ground myself in my truth. The other thing is that I had to ground myself in the truth that I really wasn't financially responsible. And that was a hard one because in the group of people that I associated with, I mean, we used to borrow $50 back and forth from each other every week or every payday like we were walking a dog. You know, it was just common to not have enough. That's just the circle that I lived in. But when I began to sit and begin to look at things, the reality was that I really wasn't saving my money properly. I was living check to check more so because I chose not to save from week to week. And, hey, if you're living above your means, you either need to get another job work some overtime or cut down your spending. It's one of those things. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And so I had to accept that I really wasn't being as financially responsible as I wanted to be, and I was contributing to my own lack. And that was hard because everyone around me was living the same exact way. Have you ever tried to break free from something that everyone around you is doing? I mean, that's really difficult because you actually have to go find someone that's living different. You have to get the mindset that there's something different even available to you out there. But you have to do it. I had to ground myself in truth. The truth escapes many of us. And I, you know, when I worked for Marriott International, I worked for Marriott International for 18 years. And I, the last 10 years, I worked in human resources, and I used to coach and train new leaders. And we learned a concept that was called the Johari window. And that really is just a psychological tool that we use to help people understand a few things. It helps people understand what you know about yourself and what everyone else knows about you, the common knowledge that you have, you know. It also helps you understand what you know about you that other people don't. That's all the hidden stuff that we hide from folks. And then it also helps you understand what others know about you that you don't see. And that's the part that really interested me. See, the truth is that when you have two people or more that are involved in a story, there's multiple sides, multiple views of that one story. And somewhere between all of their version of the story, that's where the truth is. And it was very interesting to train these new leaders and to watch them as they began to understand how other people perceive them. And when you have 2, 3, 4, 10 people viewing you in a particular way, I don't care how much you say is not true, there has to be some truth to it. And one of the hardest things is to really embrace the fact that there's something going on with you that other people can see and you can't. Now, sometimes that thing is a bad thing, but sometimes it might be that you are much greater than you ever believed you were. See, we're very comfortable believing in lack on ourselves. One of the things that, you know, over the years, more recently that I had to deal with was the view that people had of me where they really felt like I was great. And I thought, like, what's wrong with you? You know, I didn't realize that God was putting a grace and an anointing on me to receive wisdom that a lot of people do not receive. But I should have known it. I've been praying for it for years. I have been seeking for it for years. I have been fasting for it for years. I have been asking for it for years. I should have known I was going to get it, right?
Absolutely.
But sometimes,
absolutely.
You pray for something so long, you know, you do all these things for so long that you walk into it and you don't even realize that you have it. And so I have people that will come up to me and say, how did you know that? And I'm like, doesn't everybody know that? Sometimes, though, people might have a view of you that you think is not possible that it's like that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
But it's really true, and you have to embrace it as part of your truth. Now, here's the thing, is that as you ground yourself in the truth, if there's something that you don't like about yourself, just change it. I mean, it doesn't have to be that hard. You know, we make things so difficult. Change happens the moment you decide to change.
Wow.
It's as simple as that.
You know, that's a very simple concept, and it's so hard for people to grasp is that all you have to do is do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. And as soon as you decide to change, that's when change is going to happen. And until you decide to change, it's not going to happen. And here's the thing. Whichever one it is, embrace it. And if you're not ready to change, then accept the fact that you're not ready. But if you're ready, then just change. It's as simple as that. You know? So you really need to just embrace your truth and begin to set targets for the person that you want to be. Who do you want to be? We are so busy talking about who we want other people to be. Mm-hmm. I wish they became like that. I wish they would stop acting that way. I wish this one would do this. I wish this one would do that. What about you? what is it that you want to do? What kind of person do you want to be? You know, a lot of times we stop ourselves from being the person that we want to be because of some kind of fear or something that we think that we're lacking. A big one is people always say, one day when I have money, I'm going to help a lot of people. Didn't you start helping people from where you are right now?
Absolutely. Simple kindness.
Yeah, I mean, simple kindness. The smallest thing means so much to people. You know, there are so many people that are just looking for love and acceptance. It's such an easy thing to give away, truthfully, and we don't. If you could just look at a person with kindness, if you could be in a store and actually smile at a person, and when you see someone that, you know, looks nice or smells nice, tell them, it's okay. You know, wow, you look really nice today. That made my day to see you looking like that. That's wonderful. You know, that is such a great thing. Can you imagine the confidence, the joy that a person walks away with after encountering you? It makes the world a better place, you know?
Absolutely.
And it causes people to be open. So start being the person that you want to be right now. Right now. I know a lot of people who, you know, they talk for years and years and years about going back to school. And you know what? The truth is that if you took one class a semester, it might take you 10 years, but you'd eventually graduate.
Absolutely.
You know, people are waiting for a lump sum of money, you know, and 10 years later, they still haven't gone to school at all. But if you would just take one class a semester, you would eventually get there. It happens one step at a time. So who do you want to be?
That is an excellent question. Sorry to cut you off, but that is such an excellent question. Who do you want to be? How do you envision yourself? Just very powerful words that you're giving us today. You know, I hate to cut you short, but we are running out of time as far as I know. Dear, you probably got a whole lot to say, but one of the things I want you to do is if anyone wants to contact you, what is the contact information that they can get to expand on this further?
Okay. My website is KimberlyHorvath.com, and I'll spell it. It's Kimberly spelled the traditional way, and my last name is H-O-R-V like Victor, H-H. And they can reach me. My email is Kimberly@KimberlyHorvath.com.
Oh, that is wonderful. You know, I do have a question for you, though. One of the things that that struck me in my spirit when you were talking was about the old-time religion. Now, I like the song just for the content or because my grandmother would sing it all the time, so it reminds me of her. But once you started talking about it, something hit me in my spirit about exactly what you were saying, that we're trying to repeat the past. We're trying to relive someone else's experience with God instead of having our own experience with God. So what would you tell someone who's struggling with that? What would be the first step for them to do to break that cycle?
I would say the first step is to sit down and really think about what you really believe.
Okay.
Because what happens, I think, a lot of times is that, you know, there are a lot of people that are going to church that are not really saved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There are a lot of people that are going to church because it's the right thing to do, and they really do. They might think that they're saved, but do they really understand what that means? I mean, do you really believe that Jesus came, that he lived, that he died on the cross, that he rose again? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Do you believe that? Are you really saved?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it yourself, or do you believe it because that's what your family believed and they told you that you were a Christian?
Absolutely. Okay.
You know?
And I want everyone in our listening audience, I want you to really, I want you to listen to this again because there were so many good tips that were given. But you're right about, you know, just believing what your parents or your grandparents might have taught you and experiencing it. And I always encourage people to have a personal relationship. And you can't have a personal relationship with anyone through someone else. So, and you're so right about that, and that really struck my spirit. And I know those who are listening, and we have people in the chat room that want me to tell you hi. That is definitely something that we have to look at. Why do we believe what we believe? Because the Bible says you have to be able to articulate your beliefs
Absolutely.
At any time. at any time, okay? Well, you know, this has been a joy. I have stopped the music. I don't know anyone who's ever shut me up this long.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, what
I really thank
good.
You.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. But one of the things I want you to do is I really want you to come back. Because I think there's much more that you have to offer, not only the listening audience right now, but I'm telling everyone to listen to this again and then give it to your friend and let your friends listen to it. Give it to your parents and your family, everybody. Get around and listen to what Minister Kim Hovak has been saying because it's really powerful information and it's life-changing information. Once you change your attitude, that's it. You change your mind. Renew your mind. That's the key to everything. So I want to thank you again for blessing our show.
Thank you very much. Praise God.
Okay. Praise God. This has been wonderful. Now, I you know, my the audience is going to get really upset if I don't play the dance mix.
That's right.
Okay. So I want to bid you adieu, my sister in Christ. May God continue to bless all your efforts. And please do not be a stranger to the Journey Home Outreach Ministry. Anytime you want to come on, just let me know, and we will stop the music so we can eat on this very, very important food. And that's the truth. And the word of God.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, everybody. We're here. Now, you know the dance break is sponsored every week by our resident DJ, Frankie Vibes. And Frankie Vibes has a Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Frankie Vibes. He has a House of Inspiration page on Facebook. And he mixes every Sunday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.my959.com. And 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.andsowetrust.com. So this is just a sample of what Frankie does. He mixes for several hours. He's very anointed, and we're so proud to have him as our resident DJ. Now, if you want to get the contact information from Minister Kimberly Hovak or for any Frankie DJ Vibe or anyone who's on the show, go to www.sistapoochie.com, spell S-I-S-T-A-P-O-O-C-H-I-E. .com, and it will be listed under the guest and artist contact information. Okay, Kim, thank you so much. Hang around and listen to the dance break, okay?
I'm going to go downstairs and listen with Frankie.
Okay, great. By the way, this is Frankie's this is Frankie's wife. So you guys are a beautiful team, and we're so blessed to have you as part of the ministry. All right, so we're going to get started with DJ Frankie Vibe in the dance break.
We Will everybody just clap your hands? Somebody just stomp your feet. Will everybody just clap your hands? Somebody just stomp your feet. Will everybody just clap your hands? Somebody just stomp your feet. Will everybody just clap your hands? Somebody just stomp your feet. Will everybody just clap your hands? Somebody just stomp your feet. Will everybody just clap your hands? Somebody just stomp your feet. Will everybody just clap your hands? Somebody just stomp your feet. Will everybody just clap your hands? Somebody just stomp your feet. Will everybody just clap your hands?
Pick me up, go to my feet, go to the ground. Pick me up. listening to Sister Poochie's Gospel House Mix with DJ Frankie Vibe on the ones and twos. God bless you, everybody.
That was the dance break for the week with DJ Frankie Vibe. I hope you got up, got excited, gave God a little dance, a little praise. Tap your toes, snap your fingers, but do something. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Frankie, for that mix. Also, someone was calling in with the area code 847. Everyone always calls in during the dance break, and that's the longest segment. So I apologize that I did not get to your call, but if you want to call back, there's still 20 minutes left in the show, and it would be an honor to talk to you. Okay, we got a new spoken word artist next up called Terrell K, and he's going to do She Was Never Told.
Never told. She was told that she was sick, she was fat. Yo, shorty, you all that. Was even told how good she looked from the back. But she was never told. She was told how fine she was and men admire her for her shape. The closest thing to flattering was, yo, my new fries come with that shape. She was taught to be fondled and catcalled was good. A diamond in the rough is what she was called in the hood. She was called It, Miss Thang, Miss Coca-Cola bottle frame. Honey, baby, sweetie, boo, everything but her parent to give her name. And for her, any attention was good attention and was assumed as affection. She was never taught to have standards for her process of selection. And she learned young that a man will often take what he wants. And she learned that the remarks were compliments and form of sexual taunts. She was taught, you only live once, girl, just go on, get laid. She was never told that she was fearfully and wonderfully made. They never told her that she could go beyond being just a hood beauty. That she could be called Madam President instead of Miss New Booty. So why no one ever told her to prepare herself for Mr. Right instead of Mr. Right Now. To keep herself holy and pure until her marital vow. But she was never told that her true worth didn't lie in her sexual skills. The men in her life were meant to compliment, not complete her, not some sex with the bills. She was worth so much more than trying to get some in the front seat of the Hummer. So much more than the love for the summer. Worth more than making to sing falsetto. But she was only taught to cling and never learned to let go. She became dependent upon worthless men. Never knew how she changed as she grabbed the independence and grabbed an I and an N. Her motto became, don't hate the player, hate the game. She was never taught self-worth, so she was limiting her shame. Cause you see, she was never told she has the power and the right to say no. A true beauty that never got to fully blossom and grow. And by the time I got to know her, she was bitter and jaded. Admirers had long gone because the cuteness had faded. Acting so old and bitter at such a young age. Men are all demons, she say, with a venomous rage. And it hurt me to see her in such a state. Unhappy with her stretch marks, baby fat and weight. And she ran herself down using the same words her lusters use. Defeating the parts of her others had and abused. Me being who I am, I approached her and spoke. Do you know you're beautiful? Cause God said so. And so a glimmer of hope. She said no. Cause no one ever told her.
All right, that was Terrell K. What She Was Never Told. And if you want to contact him, you can go to his website at www.terrellk.com. www.kk.com. Okay. Also, the phone caller, I'm going to keep picking on you. Yeah, when you call in, I will definitely answer after the piece has been played. I can't stop the music. Okay, so call back in if you still want to have your comments or your questions addressed. And we're going to keep moving on with the show with Cries of the Lord by the Anointed Poet.
Come to me, are the cries of the Lord. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? If you listen to all that I say, I will bless thee. I will in every way.
Come to me, O lost soul, cries the Lord. But alas, you can't hear me. This is my biggest frustration. Hear my cries of pleading for the souls, for my entire nation. Every day I say to my people who don't believe who they truly are, their confusion turns to anger because of being lost in the world with no car, and they may drive to me where I am and live with me. Yes, they truly can, because I am always near and not far. I need the souls who can hear me. Please rescue my people from my enemy. For I have put you here to do what I need, and when I see what you have done for me, I will truly release blessings in your life. If you are a man alone, I will send you a wife. A woman alone will receive her mate, for that is my destiny for she who will obey my commands and not be too late.
I will give you all.
If you are in need of money, I will give it to you. If you are in need of a place to stay, that is nothing for me to do. For I am the one true living God, the one who created the limitless expanse of the universe. So how hard would it be for me to let you see how rich you are? I will bless you.
The cries of the Lord. Can you hear me?
Hear me?
If you listen to all that I say, I will bless thee,
I will bless thee
in every way.
Just put your trust in me, and I will direct your path. You do the math yourself. How many hairs are in your head? Only I know. So how hard do you think it will be for me to show you which way to go? In your business, on your job, in your home and on the road, I will show you how to turn the knob that will open the door to your blessings. So please listen to my cries and you will hear, my sons and daughters, how to become a seer of those souls I send to you. And you will begin to do the thing I have called you to. For in the womb I formed you. Before you were born, I knew you. I brought you out and appointed you as a prophet, in order that you may be the master, so the lost souls will find their way. And then they may find me as you have. And they will hear me say, thank you for listening. Now I will begin to repay you for everything you will do, and for every time you've remained true. And I will know that you love the lost souls enough to bring them to me, and to love them the way that I love you. Come to me, O lost soul. The souls who can hear me. Come to me, O lost souls.
All right, that was the Anointed Poet with Cries of the Lord. If you want to reach him, you can go to his website. His name is Robert Sales, and his website is www.robertsalesonline.com. Well, everyone, this has been an absolutely fascinating show. I have enjoyed it so much, and I hope it enriched your heart. And I want everyone also to have a happy 4th of July, those who are listening in America. And we also have our international listeners. We do not want to forget about you. There's a ministry that I got in contact with in Pakistan. And if you go to the ministry website, it's the Bible Faith Ministries. They're doing a wonderful job over there. They are helping to feed the orphans as well as spreading the word of God. Sometimes in America, we take for granted that we have freedom of religion, but we still have brothers and sisters around the world who are stepping out on faith and actually putting themselves in danger to even mention the name of Jesus Christ. So I want everyone to remember our brothers and sisters around the world. I want everyone to re-listen to this broadcast and get the helpful tips that Minister Kim Hovak has given us. She is a dynamic speaker, and I definitely hope that she comes back to the show. Now, this is how God works, because I was on the Skype chatting with the minister for Pakistan. He's a young minister, pastor. He's 23 years old, and he's doing all this wonderful work. And he sent in, and we recorded something that I definitely want you guys all to hear. Now, this is from the faith-based ministry in Pakistan.
Hallelujah. Okay, those are our fellow Christians in Pakistan singing the highest place, hallelujah. And now we'll ask them to sing a song in their own language. And you have the floor. Start.
Adesong.
Yes.
Same like Dain Yehova Yarab. Dain Yehova Yarab. Dain Yehova Yarab. Dain Adaski Tera.
All right. That was our friends from Pakistan only blessing us with hallelujah, but a song in their own language. But just to remind you all that no matter where you are, everyone knows God. God is everywhere. They're in a country that's only 3% Muslim, and they're running a ministry as well as an orphanage. And so I'd like you to go to the ministry's website, www.sisterpucci.com, spell S-I-S-T-A-P P-O-O-C-H-I-E, and show them a little love and let them know that the brothers and sisters in America love them. They're not alone. It's one love, one God, one church, which is the body of Christ. We're all in this together, and we have to remember that not everyone has the freedom to profess the name of Jesus in their country, and they don't, and so it takes lots of courage and a lot of help with the Holy Spirit to just get through the day. So I want to thank them again. I want to thank Minister Kim Hovak also for coming on to the show, and we will definitely have her back. We're going to beg her until she comes back on the show. And now we're going to roll out the way we always roll out with Society Hill Music and How Great Thou Art.